Chapter 6 National Assembly. Question 1. Describe critically the work of the French National Assembly 1789 to 1791 AD. Answer. The formation of the National Assembly is a landmark in the history of the French Revolution. It played a prominent role in establishing law and order in the country. It not only uprooted the absolute monarchy from France, but also sealed the fate of the nobles and the clergy, the privileged classes. The National Assembly was formed on 23rd June 1789 AD by the States General and King Louis XVI. Was forced to recognize it, the recognition being granted to it on 27th June 1789 AD. There were severe problems before the National Assembly after its recognition by the King. It had to pay due attention towards those demands which were referred to in the Cahiers, and it had to prepare a constitution according to the oath of the tennis court. It was really a very difficult job, because the National Assembly had to construct a palace of democracy on the remains of the absolute monarchy, and as the National Assembly devoted enough of its time and energies in framing a constitution for the country, it came to be known as the National Constituent Assembly. On the basis of early discussion in the Assembly, two different parties came into existence, known as, first, the rightists and second, the leftists. Among the prominent members of the rightist party, the name of Abbé Maury, Cagels, Abadi Montesquieu, Malouet, and Mirabeau need special mention. Abbé Maury spelled as A-B-B-E-M-A-U-R-Y, Cagels spelling C-A-Z-E-L-E-S. Abbé de Montesquieu, A-B-B-E-D-E-M-O-N-T-E-S-Q-U-I-O-N. Malouet, M-A-L-O-U-E-T. Mirabeau, M-I-R-A-B-E-A-U. Lely Tollendal, Talleyrand, Clermont, Tonne, and Robespierre formed the leftist party. Lely Tollendal, L-A-L-Y-T-O-L-L-E-N-D-A-L. Talleyrand is T-A-L-L-E-Y-R-A-N-D. Clermont, Tonne is C-L-E-R-M-O-N-T-T-O-N-N. And Robespierre is R-O-B-E-S-P-I-E-R-R-E. Besides them, Barnau, B-A-R-N-A-V, Lameth, L-A-M-E-T-H, Petion, P-E-T-I-O-N, Bazot, B-A-Z-O-T, and Bailey, B-A-I-L-L-E-Y, were also illustrious leaders of the contemporary period. Work of the National Constituent Assembly. The National Constituent Assembly worked hard for 2 years and framed a constitution and did other work for the establishment of a national government. The National Constituent Assembly first of all addressed itself to the following reforms during the short period of 2 years. First, social equality. On 27th of June 1789 AD, at the request of the King, Louis XVI, members of all the three states assembled together to discuss the important issues. It indicates that the principle of equality was accepted and was executed in the States General. The fortress of Bastille was a symbol of autocracy and absolute monarchy. Its fall on 14th July, at the hands of the Paris mob, signaled the end of despotism and absolute monarchy in France. A large number of the nobles and feudal lords were killed and looted by the mobs as a result of the fall of the castle of Bastille. Several persons belonging to privileged classes fled to foreign countries in order to save their lives. The action of the mob was praised by the National Assembly. Now, second, end of feudal system. On 4th August 1789 AD, the session of the National Assembly continued till night. In this session, the nobles and the lords gave up their special privileges willingly. A penniless lord first of all stood up and said, "Social inequality is at the back of the revolutionary activity in France. If we give up our special privileges, then this inequality will disappear and our revolts will subsequently be quelled. Therefore, I, of my own accord, give up all the special privileges. Further, I table a resolution that in the opinion of the National Assembly, all the French people are equal. Therefore, it is resolved that henceforth the taxes will be imposed on all the French citizens, irrespective of their status. All the special privileges be buried." After this resolution, the members of the privileged class stood up one by one and renounced their special privileges. The members of the higher clergy also followed suit and renounced their privileges. Thus, in one night, all the social inequalities in France came to an end. Holland Rose has remarked on this marvelous achievement of the States General. In a single sitting, it carried what the royal authorities were unable to gain from the Parliament in 15 years. But in spite of this feverish haste, the concessions now came too late to calm the people. They seemed like a jettison of cargo to lighten the ship in the storm now raging round. But an eminent historian, Goodwin, is of the opinion that the nobles and the clergy had not renounced their privileges willingly, but they were terrified and compelled to do so. The viewpoint of Goodwin is not accepted by all the historians. A prominent historian comments on the session of 4th August in these words: "In a mounting spirit of patriotic enthusiasm, the representative of the privileged classes came forward to propose the admission of all citizens to public offices and the abolition of special privileges like exclusive hunting and the purchase of judicial and other offices." Thus, the feudal system came to an end on 4th August in France. But when the laws were being framed on these proposals, between 5th and the 11th August, some lords suggested that they retain some of the privileges, and so the feudal system could not be abolished in toto from France. Now, third, The Declaration of the Rights of Man. After working hard for 2 years, the National Constituent Assembly framed a constitution and announced the Declaration of the Rights of Man. On 27th of August 1789 AD, it was based on Rousseau's view as discussed in his famous book, Social Contract. The following fundamental rights were granted to the citizens. First, all the people are free till their interests do not clash with one another. Second, every individual is qualified to get a post in the administration according to his ability. Third, all individuals are equal in the eyes of law. Fourth, every person has a right to keep private property. Fifth, every individual has a right of writing an article, making speech, and publishing his view. Sixth, no individual shall exploit the other. Seventh, none can be imprisoned or held by the police unless provided to be guilty in the eyes of law. Eighth, the property of any people cannot be usurped without payment of proper compensation. Ninth, at the time of danger or natural calamity, every people had a right to seek help of the government. Tenth, according to this declaration, the sovereignty was vested in the nation and not in the state or the parliament. Professor Thompson observes about this Declaration of the Rights of Man. These doctrines, intended to be universal in application, would clearly, if accepted, destroy the very foundation of the old order of society and disrupt the state everywhere in Europe. This was the inherent challenge of events in France to every one of the neighbors, including Britain. One French historian has called this declaration the death certificate of the old regime. It certainly remained a charter of liberation throughout the 19th century. Defects of this Declaration of the Rights of Man. This declaration was found to be very vague, and the following defects were noticed in it. First, nothing was explained in it about the freedom of trade and commerce. Second, no mention was made in it about the public education. Three, there was no reference of the holding a meeting or to organize a guild in it. Fourth, the right of keeping the property by the citizens was limited in it. Fifth, no reference was made about the duties of the citizens. Sixth, the condition of slaves was very deplorable, but no suggestion was given in this declaration about the amelioration of their condition. But in spite of all the shortcomings, this declaration was most significant. It was as important for France as the Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights were for England, and the Declaration of War of Independence for America. Hazen has remarked, "It has been an indisputable factor in the political and social evolution of the modern world." Kettleby writes about this declaration, "There was rendered invertible contradiction between the declaration and the new constitution, which was to lead France to terrible conflicts for 5 years. In the declaration, the assembly lifted the curtain which veiled an impossible liberty, only to drop it again in the new constitution." Now fourth, the new constitution. The most significant and precious work of the National Assembly was the framing of a new constitution. This constitution could be prepared after 2 years' strenuous labor in 1791. It has a great importance in the history of Europe, as by that time there was no such written constitution in Europe. After this, many constitutions were framed in France, and all of them were influenced by the constitution of 1791 AD. Now, fifth, the power of the king. After the end of the ancient regime in France, the arbitrary and absolute powers of the king were taken away, and he was made the constitutional monarch. He was made the head of the executive, and the right of appointing a minister, removing him from the post, or taking any action against him, if found guilty of any crime, was given to the king. He did not have power to wage war or to make treaty with any country. However, he looked after international affairs. The king was appointed the supreme head of the naval and land forces. He had the authority of appointing the naval and military officers. The foreign ambassadors and the judges were also appointed by him. The king was also granted suspensive veto due to the pressure of Mirabeau, by which he was empowered to reject any law for 2 sessions, but he had no financial powers, nor he could suspend the ministers and the assembly. The position of the executive was weakened owing to too much powers allotted to the assembly. Now, single chamber national assembly. According to the new constitution, provisions were made for a single chamber national legislature assembly. The legislature assembly was provided all the rights of framing the laws for 2 years. The total number of the members of this chamber was fixed at 750. Only those were given the right of voting in election of the legislative assembly who used to pay 3 days' income by way of taxes annually. It reduced the number of votes and voters to 50 lakhs only. It deprived a lot of masses of the right of casting their votes, and thus violated the spirit and letter of the Declaration of the Rights of Man. Thus, the principle of equality was completely ignored when the condition of paying taxes equal to 3 days' income was laid in the Constitution. Moreover, no member of the Legislative Assembly was permitted to hold the election after the expiry of 1 term. Thus, the inexperienced persons continued to be admitted in the Assembly. The election procedure of this Assembly was quite typical. All the citizens were divided into 2 parts. First, active citizens, and second, inactive citizens. The active citizens were further divided into many categories. Those who paid tax equal to 3 days' income had the right of voting. They had the right to elect the delegates, and the deputies for assembly were elected by these delegates. Only those had the right to take part in the election of delegates who used to pay taxes equal to 10 days' pay, and only that person was authorized for the election of deputy who was the owner of land and paid 54 francs by way of tax. Condemning the election system, one of the members remarked, "Had Rousseau lived in France by now, he would have not been a member of the Legislative Assembly." Those who were having no property and paid no taxes were called inactive citizens. And they were deprived of the right of voting. Now the judiciary. The judiciary was reorganized. The selling of the posts of judges was stopped. The central and local courts were established, and the jury system was enforced in all the courts. The practice of punishment by the lettre de cachet was prohibited. France was divided into 83 provinces. A supreme court was also established in Paris to listen to the appeals of the lower courts. Severe punishments were abolished, and the death sentence was to be awarded rarely. Every individual was supposed to be equal before the law. The National Assembly wished for the codification of the laws, but owing to lack of time, it could not be done. Now, local self-administration. The National Assembly had abolished the old divisions, and the country was divided into 83 new departments. These departments were further divided into 374 cantons, that are districts, and the canton was divided into 44,000 communes, and each commune had its local self-administration. Madeleine writes about it, "Each commune was a little republic in itself. It elected its own magistrate, executive, legislature, its mayor, its municipality, and its general council. It directed the armed forces, the national guards. It assigned the collected taxes. Now, economic system. The following reforms were carried out by the National Assembly to improve the economic condition of France. First, as all the special privileges of the nobles and the priests ended in the night of 4th August, they were not entitled to receive the taxes according to their sweet will. Second, salt tax and other indirect taxes were removed. The peasantry had no pay revenue only. Taxes were imposed on trade and industry, but the guides were abolished. Now third, the assembly decided that the public should pay compensation to the feudal lords for their lands. But the suggestion was opposed outrightly and taken back. Fourth, the assembly also framed some laws against the laborers, for which the public of the town became annoyed with it. Fifth, seeing the poverty in the country, the assembly established charity workshops for the poor. Sixth, the property of the church was now converted into national property. The assembly issued assigns on the basis of the property of the church, which by 1791 amounted to 2,000,000 francs. It resulted in devaluation, and ultimately the assembly could not fetch a single centime. Madeleine writes, "The assignat did almost ruin France, but it ensured the existence of the revolution." In fact, the issuing of assignats helped tackle the economic problem for a very short time, but otherwise this measure was one of the sorriest chapters of the French Revolution. Now, the civil constitution of the clergy. By this time, there had cropped up several defects in the working of the religious system in France. The number of priests had gone either too low or gone up too high in various departments. All these priests remained under the direct control of the Pope, and therefore they generally stood against the king at the time of any peril in the country. The assembly formed a civil constitution of the clergy and converted the priests into a salaried class. The following provisions were made in it. First, only one bishop would be appointed in one department. Second, it would be the responsibility of the state to pay the salary to all the religious heads. Third, the bishops would no more be the subordinates of the Pope, but they would perform their duties under state supervision. Fourth, the priest and the bishop would be elected by the public. Fifth, it was also decided in 1790 that even the Roman Catholic priest of the country would have to swear allegiance to this constitution and the crown. Thus, the sovereignty of the church was destroyed by the constitution of clergy. It pained the radical leaders of the church. The king himself was a staunch Catholic, and he was troubled a lot by this constitution of the clergy. It created bitter blood amongst the Protestants and the Catholics. Jarche writes, "No other measure harmed the revolutionary cause so much. France was split into two. Robertson has also remarked about it. In May and June, bloody clashes had occurred between Catholics and Protestants at Nimes, Montauban, and other places in the south. The revolution willy-nilly had to tackle this formidable problem, even at the cost of a war with the papacy." Now, effects of the civil constitution of the clergy. First, the clergymen who were so far the supporters of the revolution became stern opponents and harmed the cause of the revolution. Holland Rose remarks, "This was the beginning of a schisms, S-C-H-I-S-M, in the Church of France, which embittered the whole course of events and was only healed by Napoleon Bonaparte's Concordat in 1801. Second, the Church ordered its devotees not to purchase the confiscated lands of the Church. It resulted in devaluation of the assignats, A-S-S-I-G-N-A-T-S. Third, the state accepted the responsibility of payment of the salary of priests and bishops. It helped in uniting them for a short while. Fourth, the only good effect of the constitution of the clergy was that those who received salary from the state and the confiscated property of the church became the favorites of the revolution." Now, demerits of the work of the National Assembly. Though the National Assembly had worked with great enthusiasm and fervor and framed a constitution within its working period, yet the following demerits were noticed at the time of its execution. First, Declaration of the rights of man was impractical. Many rights among the declared ones could not be given to the public. Second, it was not proper to divide the citizens into two categories, first active citizen and second inactive citizen. It deprived a large number of people of the right of voting. Third, the legislature and the executive were separated from each other. The ministers of the king were not entitled to be the members of the legislative assembly. The king had no right to dissolve the assembly. Thus, the legislature and the executive were not helpful to each other, but strictly opposed to each other. Fourth, the entire France was divided into 83 departments, but no step was taken to establish interrelations among them. Five, it was improper to appoint a judge by election. They failed to dispense justice fearlessly. Sixth, the assembly encouraged the mob rule. It proved to be a very dangerous principle. Seventh, the principle of decentralization was enforced in such a way as it loosened the local self-administration. Eighth, the civil constitution of the clergy created religious struggle in the country and France was split into two. Ninth, no member of the legislative assembly had a right to contest the election more than once in his lifetime. So every year the inexperienced persons thronged it. Tenth, 2 years period was allotted to the legislative assembly, which was too short to complete its program for any legislative assembly. 11th, it encouraged steps towards the welfare of the middle class, but it did not prove beneficial for the commoners. 12th, it gave no encouragement to the national education. 13th, it annoyed all the classes, that are the commoners, the priests, and the feudal lords, by its actions. The National Assembly, after framing a constitution for the country, passed a self-denying ordinance on 30th September 1791 and dissolved itself. Robertson has also remarked, on September 30th, 1791, Tauret, from the chair, declared the sittings over. The assembly dispersed amid cheers for the king, country, and freedom. Professor C. D. Hazen has also written in this context, in the Constitution of 1791, the French administration and government were reformed, but the reforms could not prove useful and practical. Therefore, these could not remain stable. As an act of self-abnegation, it was really significant, but it reflects upon the inexperience of the people and it betrays a lack of balance and judgment on the part of legislators. Consequently, it proved detrimental to the future of the country and many impediments were faced subsequently. Now, how the Constitution of 1791 was inconsistent with the Declaration of the Rights of Man. The Constitution of 1791 had several virtues in itself. It ended the old regime and sounded the death knell of the privileged class and the feudal system. It helped the establishment of the constitutional monarchy, The new constitution succeeded in making the judicial system for the public easy, simple, convenient, and acceptable. Through the civil constitution of the clergy, it made successful efforts in bringing the church and religion under the control of government, hitherto being ruled by the Pope. Many of the articles of the Constitution of 1791 violated the terms of the Declaration of the Rights of Man. The following contradictions proved it to be inconsistent with the Grand Declaration of the Rights of Man. First, the condition of tax and property for the voters marred the right of several people and deprived them of voting. It gave birth to discrimination in the society. Second, the religious freedom was granted to all the people in the Declaration of Rights, but the property of the church was confiscated, and thus a section of the society was deprived of their religious liberty. Third, the National Assembly had banned its members from being the king's minister. It created misunderstanding among the two and gave rise to the element of doubt and suspicion amongst them. Fourth, the king was appointed the executive head and given various powers, but he had no right to wage war or to conclude a treaty with any foreign power. It was also against the spirit of the Declaration. Thus, the Constitution of 1791 was inconsistent with the Declaration of the Rights of Man, as both differed on several issues in spirit and letter. Now, the evaluation of the work of the National Assembly. Though the members of the National Assembly were inexperienced, they worked hard for 2 years and framed a constitution for the country. Hazen has written about this constitution. The Constitution of 1791 represented an improvement in French government, yet it did not work well and did not last long. It revealed inexperience and poor judgment in several points. The National Assembly totally abolished the ancient regime in France and sounded the death knell of feudalism. It made a complete change in the judicial system of France and established a constitutional monarchy in the country. But some historians condemn the rule of the National Assembly as it gave birth to mob rule. It was also foolish on the part of the Assembly to separate the executive and legislature. The civil constitution of the clergy proved contrary to the interests of the country. It divided the country into two hostile camps and harmed the cause of revolution to a great extent, though some of its achievements soon became ineffective, yet the rest proved of lasting importance and benefited the human society greatly. Now, points to remember. The formation of the National Assembly is a landmark in the history of the French Revolution. It not only uprooted the monarchy from France, but also sounded the death knell of the privileged classes. Now, work of the National Assembly. First, social equality. Second, end of feudal system. Third, the Declaration of the Rights of Man. Fourth, defects of this declaration. Fifth, the new constitution. A. The power of the king. B. Single chambered National Assembly. C. Two categories of the citizens. First, active and second, inactive citizens. D, judicial system. E, local self-administration. F, economic system. Now, 6, the civil constitution of the clergy. A, effects of this constitution. B, sorry, 7th, demerits of the work of National Assembly. 8th, how the constitution of 1791 was inconsistent with the Declaration of the Rights of Man. 9th, the evaluation of the work of the National Assembly. On 30th September 1791, the National Assembly passed a self-denying ordinance and it was dissolved. Now, question 2. Why did the Constitution of 1791 prove to be so short-lived? Explain in detail. Answer. 2 years duration was a very short period at the disposal of the National Assembly, but it worked day and day out and prepared a constitution within the allotted period. It proved to be short-lived due to the reasons given below. Inexperienced members. No doubt, the members of the National Assembly were patriotic, intelligent, sincere, and dutiful, but they did not possess any practical experience of the administration. Hence, they ignored several important factors and committed such blunders as made the Constitution short-lived and unsuccessful. They also weakened the executive by their own misunderstandings. Though the king was accepted to be the head of the executive and had the power of making all the appointments to naval and land forces, yet he did not possess the authority of waging war and concluding a treaty with any foreign country without the approval of the National Assembly. It affected the foreign policy of the country otherwise. The members of the assembly committed another mistake by separating the executive and the legislature altogether. The ministers of the king were not permitted even to attend meetings of the legislature. Hence, there was none in the legislative assembly to support or favor the cause of the executive. It created a wide gulf of suspicion between the two, which was very difficult to be bridged. The condition of tax and property for the right of voting also proved detrimental to the interests of the country, and it deprived a large number of people of the right of voting. Moreover, the mode of making appointment of the judges was very defective, and it gave birth to discontentment and dejection among the masses. Therefore, the method of appointment was given up in the constitution. Now, the civil constitution of the clergy. The National Assembly framed a separate constitution for the clergy of France. Some of its provisions were contrary to the feelings of the Roman Catholics. Therefore, they not only became hostile to this constitution, but also began to harm the cause of revolution. This religious division compelled a number of clergy to leave their homeland and settle in foreign countries. Gershoy writes, "No other measure harmed the revolutionary cause so much." France was split into two. The clashes between the Roman Catholics and the Protestants occurred at several places. It undermined the national unity and this constitution of the clergy proved unsuccessful. Now, weaknesses of the king. Louis XVI was an incompetent king. His erratic, inconsistent, and vacillating nature proved to be dangerous for the country. He failed to work according to the need of the day. He failed to adjust himself rapidly to the changing circumstances. Owing to his vacillating nature, he agreed to be a rubber stamp in the hands of the Paris mob. He did not act according to the advice of Mirabeau and became an easy prey to the wishes of the Paris mob. When he awoke from slumber and wanted to escape from Paris, it was too late. His flight from Paris was undone when he was recognized at Varennes and brought back to Paris. It did considerable damage to the power and prestige of the king. The National Assembly forbade him to do any work of administration after his unsuccessful flight from Paris. It almost ended all the powers of the executive. The lack of experience and foresight of the king proved a great hurdle in the smooth working of the executive. Now, the defeat of French army. Leopold II was the Emperor of Austria. He was brother of Queen Marie Antoinette of France. He wanted to nip the revolution in the bud and sought the help and cooperation of Frederick William II of Prussia. He made an invasion over French territory in order to crush the French Revolution and re-enthrone Louis XVI. The army of France was defeated at several places. It created doubts in the minds of the people that the King Louis XVI and his queen were in collusion with the foreign invader. On 20th June 1791, the mob of Paris once again shouted slogans against the king and attacked the royal palace. The king pacified the infuriated mob by putting a red cap of revolution and by donning the tricolored flag. On the other hand, when the Austrian and Prussian armies heard of the mob's attack on the royal palace, they rushed to rescue the king, and the chief commander warned the mob. If a single hair of the king or queen was touched or injured by the mob, the whole city of Paris will be blown up. The mob was all the more infuriated by this warning, and they made a fierce attack on the royal palace. They killed the bodyguards of the king, and after murdering the troops who were protecting the palace, looted the palace. The king, along with his family, anyhow managed to take shelter in the chamber of the National Assembly. The mob wanted to capture the king, but the assembly suspended him from all kingly duties and established a republican government. Thus, the constitution of 1791 proved to be short-lived, as the National Assembly itself did not last longer, which was the foundation stone of the constitution. Now, self-denying ordinance. On 30th September 1791, a self-denying ordinance was passed by the National Assembly, and it was dissolved, giving all the powers and responsibilities to those inexperienced persons who had taken no part in the making of this constitution. Moreover, the new chambers were concerned with different political parties. Thus, under the above circumstances, the constitution of 1791 could not prove to be a lasting one. Morios has remarked on the failure of this constitution. The constitution is of such a nature that the Almighty Himself could not make it work unless He created a new species of man. Madeline also remarks, the huge work of reform, unique in history, was a monument indeed, but very poor and fragile in constitution. Now, points to remember. The constitution of 1791 proved to be short-lived due to serious blunders of the makers of this constitution. The following reasons chiefly contributed to its being short-lived. First, the members of the National Assembly were not experienced persons. They committed serious errors, resulting in the constitution being short-lived. Second, weakening of the executive and separation of legislature from the executive were grave mistakes of the assembly. Third, the civil constitution of the clergy harmed the cause of revolution and divided the religious followers into two compartments. Fourth, the erratic and vacillating nature of the king proved a hurdle in the smooth working of the constitution. Fifth, the defeat of French army added fuel to the fire and the king was held responsible for it. He was charged with giving away military secrets to the enemies. Sixth, the dissolution of the National Assembly was also an important reason contributing to the revolution being short-lived. Thus, in spite of all its inherent merits, the Constitution of 1791 did not last long.